All right. If you have your Bibles, turn to Acts chapter 5 this morning. Acts chapter 5 and verse 11 is where we want to begin this morning. Now, the first part of chapter 5 in Acts, we see that there was two people. Things were going well at the church. They saw what was going on, Ananias and Sapphira. They saw others that were selling their possessions and were giving them to the disciples to disperse so everybody would be taken care of. And we see here that Ananias and Sapphira, they saw what was going on, so they sold a parcel of land and decided they were going to give it to the disciples too, because they wanted to be part of the mission work that was going on. But they decided, hey, we're not going to give 100%, but we're going to give a little bit, and we're going to keep back to make sure we're taken care of, but we're going to tell them that this is all of it. And we see that through their deceitfulness and going to the disciples there and giving it to them and saying this was the way that it was, that their lives were required of them because of the things that they'd done. And so that's where it's bringing us up to now in verse 11 of Acts chapter 5, just to give you a little background there. And it said that as the lady was answering for what her husband had done, and she agreed with it and was within unison with her husband, saying that everything that was done was all it was. And he told her, he said, now listen, said, the feet of those that buried your husband are coming in and they're going to take you out as well. And they did, and they took her out and buried her. And in verse 11, that was in verse 10, in verse 11 it says, and great fear came upon all the church and upon as many as heard these things. Now that's something that we have lost in America today, is the fear of a righteous God. We have lost our fear of service to Him. We have lost the fear and respect of God that we need in our land and country. We see 2 years later that a country who thought they wanted a president out of the Muslim Brotherhood has decided they don't want that now, and so they're trying to get rid of that form of government and get another form, and I'm afraid there'll be a worse form that's going to come up and try to establish itself. So we need to be much in prayer for Israel and the ones in the Middle East, for all the unrest that's taking place, because we just see more of God's word being fulfilled, that people that are in favor of there being a one world government and aligning themselves for this very fact that we see in Revelation that it talks about, it's not as far off and not as far fetched as many folks would like to think this morning, how close it can be, because the fear of God is going out of the church, the fear of God is going out of America and out of hearts all across the world. We have lost our fear of a righteous God, and we are going to fall into His hands, into the hands of a just God. And I thank God because of the blood that's been applied to my life, that He's not going to see the unrighteousness that I should have to pay for. But Jesus went and died on the cross of Calvary to cover my sins, that I can forget all these things of the world and take Him on upon myself and have His blood applied, that I can be saved and that I can be sealed and set free and not be of that lot, the ones that are on the losing team this morning, the ones that are serving to Satan still today. And in verse 12 it says, and by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people, and they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. And one and of the rest doth no man join himself to them, but the people magnified them. There were great things being done in the name of the Lord and in the church at this point in time. We see that people were hearing. We see that people were listening to the Word of God being preached, that they were joining themselves together there to listen to what the disciples were teaching, those that had walked with Jesus. And it said, and believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes, both men and women. Today, I would love to see a revival break out across America, but I would love to see a revival break out here in the area that we live and spread into Sparta, and multitudes of men and women surrender their life to God and become born again, ready to go be with us in heaven, set apart, sealed until the day of redemption. But today there's not many gathering in Solomon's porch anymore, just the ones that are faithful that will meet in God's house to come hear the Word of God preached, and are longing for that day when we get to go home to be in heaven with Jesus, and are longing for that time and looking for that time, and still on the firing line for God, still willing to go out there and be in part of a Vacation Bible School, still willing to volunteer to be there and be part of that to teach young minds the Word of God, still willing to be able to work in the crafts and get them involved and let them have a good time in the house of the Lord and teach them all along the way and all these things that's going on. There's still people that are interested in getting the Word of God out there, and I thank God for that, but we're getting fewer and further between, and we need to get back into our service for God. We need to be listening to Him at multitudes, and we need to be praying to Him that multitudes would surrender their life to Him, that some of these so-called churches across the land and country that we have would get rid of religion and get salvation back in the doors and quit playing church and get back to serving God, the whole Word and nothing but the Word, and let that be true and all men liars. God's not pleased with the things that's going on in our land and country today and the things that people are calling right. In verse 15 it says, insomuch that they brought forth the sick into the streets and laid them on the beds and couches, that at the least the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them. Now let me tell you, they was having faith in what was going on, and they were laying them out there just hoping as the disciples walked by that their shadow would just go across them. They believed that they had that much power endued to them by Jesus Christ, that if the shadow of them passed upon them, that they could be healed from their infirmities. Let me tell you today, we don't have the faith to fill up a thimble, much less have the faith to believe that the shadow of God pass upon somebody and be able to heal them or save them today. Shame on us because of our lack of faith in America today as a whole, not as this church, because I have seen great faith by this church, and I wished it was this way everywhere. If it was, America would be different. America would not be in the shape that we're in today. There's people in the name of religion that are doing things that God is not pleased with because it is in the name of religion that they're doing it. We need to get back to preaching Jesus Christ and Him crucified, risen, and coming again to receive His church unto Himself, then coming back and set His foot upon this place once again to take charge and to be King of Kings and Lord of Lords, as it talks about in the book of Revelation, and those things coming to pass that are going to take place just as much as I'm drawing the next breath, that they're going to happen and they're going to be upon this place that we call earth, and we're going to see a difference one day. But I thank God now that I can start enjoying it, and that we can have faith that we can see things change. You say, preacher, if you had faith, your gallbladder wouldn't hurt. Let me tell you, the pain's eased when I started preaching, so you're liable to get the whole load today. Because the shadow of the faith of people have of overpassing can heal those that are sick. So there came also a multitude out of the city round about unto Jerusalem, bringing sick folk and them which were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed, every one of them. Every one of them. Every one. Every one. Not just certain ones. They wasn't having partiality. The sick that was brought to them, they healed them. God gave them that ability that they could be a witness, that they could say, those men have been with God, those men have walked with Jesus, and they are different than these other soothsayers that's out here, these other people that are trying to cast out these unclean spirits. There's something different about these men. They had a different story that they were preaching and teaching and telling. Then we see the crowd that's always out there, the naysayers. Then the high priest rose up, and they all that were with him, which was of the sect of the Sadducees, and were filled with indignation, and laid their hands on the apostles and put them in the common prison. It's been mentioned this morning about pastors being arrested and threatened that if they preach against certain sins, that it's going to be considered hate crimes and different things today. Well, I'm going to tell you something. It ain't a hate. It's a love for mankind. Amen. It's a hate against the sin that is indwelling people's hearts today. Amen. It's a love for mankind that they don't have to die and go to hell, that I'll tell you the truth. Amen. Am I perfect? No. Never have claimed to be the first one to tell you I'm not. But I know Jesus. Amen. And He saved me. And He's teaching me every day. And from Genesis to Revelation, I've never caught Him in one lie. And He wouldn't brought the judgment upon cities that He did for their unrighteousness and unrighteous acts that they have committed. if he didn't mean business. If he didn't mean business. And America is no better than these other countries and other places, other nations, that we can't face judgment. One part of our United States is burning up. The other part's floating away. We wonder why it has to be this way. Because of disobedience. Some would say, oh, it's just the way the weather pattern's running. Who's in control of the weather? God is. But they rose up with indignation, laid hands on the apostles, and put them in the common prison. They are arresting people in Europe and places for speaking against homosexuality and different things already. It won't be long till it's here. Speaking against sin, as we was talking with the kids about committing adultery and honoring thy father and mother, it's not just suggestions. But it won't be long that you can't speak against that because everyone's doing it. No, not everyone is. There's still those that believe in the law that God established. But the angels of the Lord by night opened the prison doors and brought them forth and said, go, stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life. Now what life? The life that they were trying to tell people about. I believe it was Winston Churchill said that you make a living by what you get, you make a life by what you give. Is our life being made by giving Jesus to others? Are we sharing the Word of God? These men had been arrested and put in prison, had guards set at the door, and the angel of the Lord came and told them, look, God's not done with you yet. You go and speak to the people about the life that you've been telling them, this eternal life with Jesus. You go speak to them the words of life. And when they heard that, they entered into the temple early in the morning and taught. But the high priest came, and they that were with him, and called the council together, and all the senate of the children of Israel, and sent to the prison to have them brought. Boy, their eyes are going to be opened. Well, let's call the council together. You know, I believe that's where we get it as Baptists. We got to have a committee. They had to have a council. We got to have a committee. Let's get a committee together. And we'll just have two or three suppers or lunches, and we'll make a decision on something. If we think about it, we can get it done. Well, let's have a committee. And there's a lot of places they committee everything to death. And they're good in time. And we need them. But sometimes we committee stuff to death, just like they were coming together, bringing the council against these folks that were telling the truth and preaching the truth that they didn't want to hear. It was going to interfere with their lifestyle. But they sent for them to bring them. It says in verse 22, but when the officers came and found them not in the prison, they returned and told. Now I wonder what they how they felt going back. Well, we went down to the prison. Open up the doors. We got to get them boys out. And went into the prison. It's empty. What are we going to do now? It's kind of like when they thought they had Jesus. We've killed him on the cross. We've put him in a tomb. We've got a stone rolled across the door, and ain't no way he's getting out. They just didn't know him, did they? They just didn't know him. It says that they returned and told, saying, the prison truly found we shut with all safety, and the keepers standing without before the doors. But when we had opened, we found no man within. We found no man within. When God intervenes, there's nothing that can stop you. Amen. Not the prison walls, not someone standing in opposition, not laws of this land that are made against God's Word. They can't stand. And when the high priest and the captains of the temple and the chief priest heard these things, they doubted of them whereunto they would grow, that this would grow. Some thought, well, we'll just give it a little while. This thing, it won't last. You ever said that about somebody you heard got saved? Well, I give him 2 weeks, he'll be back to his old ways. Shame on you. Shame on you for your lack of faith. That God can change an individual. That God can save them, clean them, change them completely from the lifestyle that they once lived. It says, then came one and told them, saying, behold, the men of whom you put in prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people. Then went the captains and with the officers and brought them without violence, for they feared the people, lest they should have been stoned. Now what's it going to take for people who's willing to tell the truth not to fear what's going to come to us? It's other people having faith. It's other people believing in Jesus Christ and willing to stand up when the going gets tough, that we stand up and we don't run. That we stand together united on the Word of God. Not just beliefs of the Baptist, but beliefs of God's Word. And if that is enough, if we will stand upon it, stand upon God's Word and believe it. And they were afraid because they didn't want to harm these men because the people were listening. The people were receiving the Word. And when they had brought them, they set them before the council. And the high priest asked them, saying, did not we straitly command you that you should not teach in this name? And behold, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intent to bring this man's blood upon us. Today, that should be everyone's intent that knows Jesus as their Savior. That should be our intent with sharing Jesus, that we bring His blood upon them. That they would see that they need the salvation that Jesus brought through His blood. The words that they said here was that they were trying to say that you're going to make it look like we're guilty of His death. But really what it was is that they were guilty of His death, and His blood is what was going to make them alive. This man's blood upon us. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than man. There's been people that have got afraid to stand for the Word of God. A little opposition here, a little opposition there. Well, this is too hard. I'm going to quit. There's no place to quit. There's no unemployment line in serving God. Until we draw our last breath here, we're in the business of our Father. That we are to do the Father's will. That we are to share Him with others. Not to close up shop because others say it's not popular today to stand for Jesus. If you're the only one in the crowd that stands for Him, you're going to stand out. But be a standout for Jesus. Be a standout for Jesus. Because it is better to obey God than to obey men. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom ye slew and hanged on a tree. Him hath God exalted with His right hand to be a prince and a Savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. All sin. Big sins, little sins. We categorize them. God sees them all as one. They was all covered by the same blood, the blood that Jesus shed. And we are His witness of these things, and so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey Him. You're not alone. When you think you're standing by yourself, you're not alone. If you're saved and you have His sweet Holy Spirit indwelling you, you're standing together with Him, and He's standing with you to be your strength, to be your guide. When they heard that, they were cut to the heart and took counsel to slay them. See, this is not a new thing, trying to kill the testimony of those that are telling of Jesus. Trying to squelch it any way that they could. They beat them, they put them in prison, they threatened their lives, they sought to slay them to get them to shut up about this man Jesus. But they had walked with Him. They had heard His words. They had saw His miracles. They knew that He was the real thing. They knew that they had put Him in that tomb. They knew that the king's seal was upon it, and that if anyone broke it, they would know. But as He rolled the stone away so He could let men in to see that He was no longer there, it increased their courage. It increased their faith. It increased their hope. Right at the time, they were down and out because they didn't know exactly what was going to take place. But as Jesus appeared to them and showed them the way and sent them forth, they went on the courage, faith, and belief that Jesus had accomplished the things that He was sent here to do, and that through them the word of Jesus would be spread abroad. If the church had continued after the first 300 years as it did in the first 300 years, in the second 300 years, the whole world would have known of Jesus. Because in the first 300 years, the whole Roman Empire had heard about this Jesus, had heard the word preached. The church was busy. And ever since then, we have got slower and slower about the things that we do for Him. Some places almost to a kneel, nothing that resembles service to God and service to Christ. Then stood there up one of the council, a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a doctor of the law, had in reputation among all the people, and commanded to put the apostles forth a little space, and said unto them, "Ye men of Israel, take heed to yourselves what your intent to do as touching these men. For before these days rose up Theudas, boasting of himself to be somebody, to whom a number of men, about 400, joined themselves and were slain, and as many as obeyed him were scattered and brought to naught." He's telling them, look, if this thing is left alone, it'll go for a little while, and they'll give up, and it'll be nothing. They'll be scattered. We won't have to worry about it. But little did they know, the little that Jesus was going to work with there, and their little faith, how great a thing it was going to accomplish, that we can still talk about them today. That we can still talk about them today. Let's don't get discouraged, church. I know when we look around, we hear the news and we see things happening, that it would be so easy to get discouraged and say, it's just easier to sit back and let things go. No, it's not. No, it's not. Today is the day that we need to stand. If there's been a time in America that there's a turning point and a place that we may cross of a point of no return, I believe we're looking at it very closely. I don't want to cross over into that point of no return, but it's coming. But I'm glad my point of no return is going to be that when this body is separated from this soul, it's not going to return this same way. The next time it returns, it will be in a perfect body, that it will be different. I'll be riding with my Lord and King when He returns to this earth. But there's those that are at that point of no return that are going to die lost and that are going to go to hell, only to come out to be judged for the eternity and then placed back. What an awful time. What an awful time that it's going to be. They rejected the apostles, those that were leaders. They were afraid that they would lose their standing as being the religious elite. I'm not afraid of losing my status as being saved if you get saved. I welcome it that another brother or sister come to know Him. And if you're here this morning, the thing that they thought would die and go away hasn't. Jesus is alive forevermore. His blood is still able to save. He loves you today with all of His heart and being, and give all that He was and all that He is that you might be saved. But friends, you have to receive it. You have to ask Jesus to come in. You have to repent and say, "Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner, and I need You to save me." come into my heart and live today. And believe in your heart and confess with your mouth. When Jesus comes in, there's no doubt about it, friends. He will change you, and you'll never be the same. And you'll want to tell others about Him and about your experience of becoming a child of God. This morning, as we get a song prepared, I believe it just as I am. That's how He wants you. He don't want you to clean yourself up. He don't want you to change. He wants to do it. He wants to make you into a Christian. He wants to mold and make you and clean your life up of the unrighteousness that's ours. Friend, it's not a shame that we've got it. We were born into it. It's a shame when we realize it and we keep walking away from Him. That's when it becomes a shame. Trust Him. Surrender to Him. Surrender. And be set free. These men were surrendered to Jesus and His work. They were put in prison. But Jesus sent someone who led those that were captive out and told them to go preach and tell the people the words of this life. The life in Jesus. Because that's where our true life is. As we stand to our feet, all heads bowed, all eyes closed.